Dee the Miracle. Welcome to the Friar Phil Show. You know, when we were playing Colorado, after the first game, I kept saying to the God of baseball, all we need is a miracle. We just need one beautiful miracle to break the curse. There's got to be some kind of curse on us that we can't win in Colorado and at Coors Field. So anybody that's pagan out there, they can break curses, get your beads out, shake them around, and do something about it before we have to play there again. I'm not even sure if we play there again, but we'll find out from our guest who's on the phone with us. E.T. is with us. We're going to check in with him and see how he's doing since we haven't talked since April. How you doing, E.T.?
Doing pretty good, Far Phil. Glad to be back again.
Yeah. Well, good news and bad news today to start the program off with. Good news is obviously the Padres beat the tar out of Madison Bumgarner and his friends with the Arizona Diamondbacks by a score of 10-4 and swept the Diamondbacks. The bad news, though, is the Dodgers look like they're going to beat the Reds. It's 8-4 right now in the bottom of the ninth inning, and that's kind of bad news, but it's also good because it means since we won today, we stay in first place, tied with the Dodgers, so we didn't lose any ground. So I guess that's a little bad news wrapped around some good news, huh?
Yeah, definitely. As long as we can keep pace with the Dodgers, I think we're looking pretty good right now.
Yeah. And I think we can do it. I just don't understand what happens when we play the Colorado Rockies, whether it's at Petco Park or whether it's at Coors Field. Do you have any thoughts on that? Why we just can't break through?
Yeah, it's kind of a mystery. You know, they've lost 5 out of 7 so far this year against the Rockies. Maybe sometimes teams tend to prepare better against others, and Colorado seems to be, you know, having our former manager, Bud Black, there in Colorado, for some reason they seem more prepared against the Padres. Now, of course, Colorado, with the advantage of, you know, the stadium and the air, they've pretty much lost,
crinkle,
like, I think...
Crinkle, and then
yeah, I believe they've lost like 10 in a row out there. So there's something about that place where the Padres just don't play well. I don't know if it has to do with the curse out there, the not touching home plate by Matt Holliday or something. But it just seems to be the Padres just don't seem to play well against Colorado. Even at Petco, when they split that four-game series, they split the two games. They won two, then they lost two in a row. So then it's just kind of, I don't know, it's kind of a lull. Padres seem to be playing against them when they match up against the Rockies for some strange reason. It's unexplainable. I don't know.
I don't know either. I've got the police helicopter. We call it the ghetto bird flying over our house for some reason. Let me just wave at them. Hi, guys. Never a dull moment in my neighborhood. But, yeah, that's, you know, just weird. It's the weirdest thing. If you think about it, you think about where our offense could really excel, it'd be that launching pad in Colorado. Now, people said to me, well, you know, the pitchers were really good, you know, da-da-da-da-da. I don't buy that. You know, it's a last-place team now. They're beatable, just like the Diamondbacks were beatable the next 3 days.
I definitely agree. I mean, I don't know, there's something about the friendly confines of being at home with the Rockies. If you look at the history of the Colorado Rockies, I mean, they just take advantage of what the Coors Field presents them, and they're night and day compared to being on the road. And you know, they somehow come up with the clutch hits, and they come up big especially against the Padres. And you know, if you look at the Padres lineup, you're like, yeah, you expected them to at least get some runs and get some consistent hits and stuff like that. But I don't know, it's kind of one of the mysteries of baseball where you just can't figure out how the Padres can't go into Colorado and hit well over there.
Maybe it's because they go out there and they try to hit home runs.
That could be too.
You know, instead of trying to manufacture runs like they do and like they did here at home today with today's game. That was fantastic. A mix of home run and a mix of small ball. Maybe they just go to Colorado and figure, well, it's a launching pad. I can get big hits, make my stats better, forget to play as a team. I don't know. I'm at a loss. The only thing I know for certain about Colorado and the Padres is that guy never touched home plate. That's the only thing I know for certain. He didn't touch it because I was watching very closely.
I can't believe that. That's still, something that will, live in our memories forever. And
yes.
It's unfortunate that play, took us out. So it just stinks.
It does. So what's your report card so far for the Padres this season so far?
Oh, for me, I would say I think they're an A-minus. I would say I think the pitching staff has, especially the starting pitching, has been great. I mean, there's a few bumps in the road with Gore right now, but overall, the starting pitching has been the strength of this team. I mean, compared to last year, you couldn't get anybody, with Paddock and Davies and. Well, not Davies, Paddock and some other guys. They just couldn't get past the fifth inning. And now you got, with Darvish and Musgrove pitching and Manaea and even guys like Martinez. With Clevinger coming back, even though he kind of struggled just a little bit today with location. But I think overall the starting pitching has been the strength of his ball club. For being 44 and 27 right now, that's the only reason why they're where they're at. I mean, the outfield situation is still, Profar has been just amazing. He's just been, you put that guy in the leadoff spot, you put him in the cleanup spot. He's producing. He's been just pretty much a big surprise out in left field because nobody really expected him to be the everyday left fielder, but he's answered the call. Grisham is still kind of struggling a little bit. I mean, he's starting to get big hits lately, still in the 180s hitting, but still playing decent defense. I mean, he had a bad play the other night, but overall he's been playing really well. And there's nothing much you can say about Mazzara and Ozogar platooning for Will Myers. They've been pretty solid over the last
week. Will who?
I know. I hate to say that. He's a veteran of this club. He's been the guy that's been there the longest, but they haven't really missed a beat without Will Myers in the lineup. I mean, it's too bad that he's nursing a knee right now. So
yeah.
It's just that Mazzara, who's hitting the cover off the ball in AAA, comes up, and then, Zokar coming in, and two platooning have been really solid.
Will, take your time, recover, make sure that knee is properly healed. We'll wait patiently for you while we have these other guys that can hit the ball play in your place.
Yeah, I mean, when you got the infield of Machado, and then you got Ha-Sung Kim and Hosmer and the guys are and Cronenworth, Cronenworth's coming back. He's starting to play a little bit better. He's been on a hot streak. Kind of struggled in this last series, but they definitely relied on the big hit on him, and he's been really, really solid. Ha-Sung Kim's coming up. He still plays solid defense. His batting kind of slipped over the last few weeks, but he's starting to pick it up again. Losing Machado, the dude's a quick healer. Really, not much you can say about that.
God, yes. I mean, when I saw that, it looked like the entire ankle just snapped, and it was sideways, and it was sideways. And I don't know how the hell that bone didn't snap and break right the freak off,
Yeah, it's crazy the way he landed. I mean, it looked like at first he looked like he hyperextended his knee, and then his foot went sideways, and he grabbed the back of his foot. It's like,
oh,
is that
yeah.
Achilles? Is that a broken ankle? I'm like, oh, no,
no.
What the heck? So, yeah, he's without Machado this year, he's been amazing. And Hosmer, you know, he was the April Hosmer was great. I mean, he batted in the 390s, but then he's just been completely cold since. So
yeah,
usually nothing else you could say about Eric Hosmer.
Yep, Hosmer is Hosmer is Hosmer, and that's all you can say about
it. That's all you can say.
What do you think about C.J. Abrams? A couple of people I've heard on the radio had differing opinions. Some were happy he was called up here again. Some still think it's too soon for him. What do you think?
I think, yeah, he's still a 21-year-old kid. So, I mean, there's a lot of expectations from him. This is pretty much, I think, you know, I think that he probably should have stayed longer in AAA. He still needs more developing, in my opinion. I mean, he showed a bunch of flashes in spring training. He's got the talent. He's a very talented kid. He can play shortstop and possibly the outfield. So I think they, you know, with the absence of Machado's injury, you know, they're trying to rely on him a little bit. They kind of moved, you know, Kim the third and him at short. So I think a lot of fans need to be patient with Abrams. He's not going to come out and gangbang like everybody expected him to be, you know, especially with the flashes out of spring training. But I think the kid's going to be pretty good. I mean, he really tore it up in El Paso. So it looked like he was there's a lot of stuff, you know, when you're in El Paso, as we saw with Trace Thompson and Mazzara and even Camposano out there, the numbers are pretty elevated out in El Paso. So
yeah, to say the least.
Like it's a launching pad out there in AAA.
Yeah.
And especially in El Paso. But I think, you know, Abrams is a young kid. I mean, it's going to take a while for him to really, you know, there's a big jump between, definitely a big jump between AAA and the majors. So I think Abrams is going to be pretty good. I think we just need to be a little more, some fans need to be a little more patient with him.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think as soon as Manny comes back, he'll be sent back down to AAA. Just because there's not a really, really a place for him. I mean,
yeah,
Kim has done a great job filling in for shortstop. Of course, Jake plays second base. We've got Voit to play first base when Hosmer isn't playing. And, of course, you got Manny at third. So where are you going to put Abrams? Back in AAA, probably, which will probably be the best thing for that kid to keep excelling down there, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, he definitely needs, you know, the more consistent at-bats. I mean, he was playing well in El Paso, you know, just let him continue to develop. Right now, you know, once Manny comes back, he may not have any, you know, get the consistent at-bats that he would need. And, you know, Ha-Sung Kim, just, he's pretty much a defensive specialist, and, you know, he can get the big hit from now and then, but his defense has been really vital to the Padres, especially moving him, you know, replacing Tatis. Putting him at third. He can play second. I mean, Kim has just been a defensive gem out there. So, you know, with Abrams and his ability to, you know, play well, I think it'll be much better if he goes back to AAA.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too. It's going to be hard for Kim, or at least last year, coming from where he played with the rules in that game there and the way it was played, to come here to the United States and start playing it by our rules and the way Major League Baseball is played in this country, it had to be hard for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's still in a transition period. I mean, he went from Korean baseball to Major League Baseball here in America. So, yeah, there's still a bit of transition, you know, and it's kind of, so he's kind of like in a second year. kind of like extension of his rookie year. So, you know, Kim is still working on his game, and you know, he's only 26 years old. So we'll see how. I mean, I guess he signed a 4-year deal last year, so he's going to be here a couple more years.
Yeah, I'm glad about that. I like the guy, and he's a fun-looking kid to watch play as well. He doesn't get into the antics that Fernando gets into, but he certainly does look fun to play with. Oh, that sounds bad, doesn't it? Look fun to play with. Look fun to play baseball with. That sounds better.
When you look at this team, this team seems to enjoy playing baseball compared to last season. I mean, you look at Alfaro, you look at Kim. These guys just seem to have fun out there.
There you go, fun. Remember a few programs back, I said fun. They were lacking the fun, and my guest last week pointed out quite dryly that, of course they're having fun. It's fun when you win, but even when they're not winning, they seem like they're having fun, if you can understand that concept.
Yeah, even if you look at the pitchers with Manaea and Snell and Martinez and Gore, they're all hanging out, you know, chewing seeds, you know, doing contests in the dugout. You know, they just seem to be, as a team, enjoying each other as well as enjoying the game. So it's something that, you know, I don't know if it's something that Bob Melvin instilled in them to be themselves compared to last year with Tingler. I mean, maybe Tingler, perhaps, like, you know, it just kind of shows you, the difference in managing styles. And if you look at what Philadelphia is doing right now, what the Phillies done, they fired Girardi, and now look what they've been doing over the last few weeks. They just like started turning it up. They fired their manager, and now they're kind of back in it again. So there's
of course, since they're coming to play us, right?
Yeah.
Now they've turned it up. Now that they're coming to Petco Park, and then they'll have a slump afterwards. That's just our luck with the Padres, but maybe not this year. You know, maybe it'll be a good series, and hopefully we'll get a win Thursday night and Friday night, because I will be at the game.
Yeah,
and I hate going to the game when we lose.
It's a 4-game series, so as long as they take 3 out of 4, I think it's good.
Yeah, that's what I keep telling people. The important thing is, you know, we can't sweep every time, but we have to win series. As long as we win the series, we'll be doing good. We'll keep pace with the Dodgers, the dreaded Dodgers.
Exactly.
And don't forget about the Giants, too. They're not that great this year, but they're only, three?
Three and a half games behind
the Dodgers and us.
Yeah, Giants are just sneaking up on people. They're just kind of just laying low and playing consistent ball.
You know,
lose here and there, but I mean, Padres went into San Francisco and they swept them. So, but they're still, you know, they're still lurking there, and they're still a competitive baseball team. So, just never count the Giants out, especially for a team that won 107 games last year.
Yeah, definitely not. What do you think about this idea for next year that they have with us playing every team in both leagues?
No, that would be an interesting season there. If that concept was made to play every team, it'd be interesting to see. You know, especially the Yankees and the Red Sox and Toronto and all that. It would be just kind of a fascinating thing. I mean, I mean, I guess I'm an old school fan back in the day where the All-Star game kind of presented the mystery with how's Gwynn going to do against Clemens? How's the National League going to play against the American League?
Right.
When they instituted the interleague play, you know, kind of got the, you know, the fascination and the mystery in the All-Star game kind of went away for me. But I think it'd be pretty interesting. I still think that more games of the National League would be fine in that sense. But I think, playing every team one time or at least one series next year would be pretty interesting. But still, I think, you know, the main the main is to play against teams in your division. I think, I forgot how many games they play, like 16 or something against teams in your division.
So yeah.
We still got a long way to go. We only played 3 games against the Dodgers, so it's going to be, the rest of the summer is going to be pretty interesting coming up.
Fun. I'm not too big on the expanded playoff thing, where they want to expand the playoffs and, you know, have more teams competing, you know, to make it more interesting for the fans. You know, that's all bullshit. A bunch of bullshit. They don't want to make it more interesting for the fans. They want to make more revenue with the TV revenue and the radio revenue and more money coming in. That's why they're expanding these things. And they're destroying the postseason for baseball. I mean, what's the point of trying all year to stay in first place and win your division and then win the National League pennant if you're not even going to make it to the World Series because some team like the Marlins, who were doing okay but were like in third place, ends up winning it? It just doesn't seem fair to me. I mean, it's fair when the playoffs, you know, the way they had to do it when the leagues expanded, but just overdoing it with the wild card stuff and all that nonsense just ruins it for me.
Yeah, I think, like you said, it's all about revenue. It's all about TV ratings. They want to increase interest in baseball. They want to get more teams in the playoffs. That way they can extend it longer. It's just like the NFL, just like, you know, creating more TV, more exposure. You know, I mean, the playoffs are exciting themselves, so they definitely want to increase the amount of viewing and try to, you know, even have the teams that don't really deserve to be there a chance. Like you said,
right?
It could be the Marlins or, you know, but, you know, it's the intrigue of Major League Baseball that's trying to create it, so. To me, I'm an old school guy. Just kind of, you know, I like the with the 3 divisions in the National League, just maybe 1 or 2 wild card teams have been fine with me. So,
yeah, I'm more old school as well.
Yeah,
I always make a joke about it. I'm old school or just plain old, one of the two, but it's one of them. Grisham in center field. What do you think about him?
I think, I think he's still trying to figure out his bat. I mean, since last year, he hasn't really been the guy to, you know, come up clutch. I mean, he's still batting under 200. I mean, just lately, he's starting to hit the ball harder again. He's pretty much one of the few guys that I've seen strike 3 down the middle a lot. He seems to, you know, but his defense still seems to be pretty solid. He just had that one blunder the other night where a line drive that kind of went, you know, kind of he misjudged it and kind of tried to dive at it, and the ball was kind of tailing on him, and he dove at it and became an inside the park homer. Mm. So he, you know, other than that, he's not the Trent Grisham that I expected from 2020.
Yeah.
We're hoping to hit for a little bit more power, more consistency, get more walks, steal some bases. You know, that's one of the reasons why he's not a leadoff hitter. He's more toward the end of the, you know, 7, 8, 9 hitter. If he was, you know, even if he was, they expected more out of him, especially when he broke out in 2020 and had a pretty good short season. But, you know, I just think that, you know, we're hoping that he can, you know, continues to figure himself out. I mean, every strikeout or any pop out that he has, I always think of Estuary Ruiz out in AAA.
So, yeah.
I mean,
he's waiting.
The kid is, you know, made that jump from AA to AAA. And I think he's a switch hitter. So it's just like, well, he became a good 1-2 punch with him and Abrams out there. So, I mean, there's guys that can play center. There's a couple other guys, I think Ferguson, not there, but I'm not sure his name, but like Max Ferguson, something like that. But anyway, yeah, there's guys that can play center in the minors. I'm really not sure, hoping for more production from Trent Grisham. The dude's got some talent. He can play a solid center field, but his bat needs to pick it up.
Yeah, definitely. We're getting closer to the All-Star break and then the trade deadline. What do you think AJ is going to be looking for this July?
I would say perhaps something, and I think he would look for another outfielder, perhaps.
Please do.
I wouldn't
do.
Be surprised if they try to make for something, something to get in, perhaps maybe somebody could play, besides Profar, could be a play that can play left field, possibly go into center field as well. I think another bullpen arm would help. Definitely, sometimes you can't always rely on Glenn Garcia and always putting Chris Matt out there and Stephen Wilson, and they tend to give up some runs late. But Nabil Crismat's been pretty solid. I'm still not sure if they're confident enough for him to be the setup guy. So I think they're probably going to look more at an outfielder, possibly a bullpen arm. I really don't think Preller's going to go really drastic with all these rumors about getting Juan Soto or anybody like Mike Trout or anything, considering how...
Oh, yeah, Trout, Soto. where the fuck are we supposed to get the money from?
I know.
It's nice wishing for these particular players, but where are we going to get the money?
It's so funny when you see that on Twitter, like, Trout, where that's going to come from? or Shohei Ohtani. I'm like, how's that going to happen? How's that going to... There's guys out there that could make that could make some sense. I mean, Brian Reynolds out of Pittsburgh makes some sense. Even a Joey Gallo could make some sense. But I think probably Gallo strikes out too much. But and he's not a good hitter as well as for power. But he plays good defense. But I think a bullpen arm. I think the starting pitching has been pretty good. Whether or not they're going to address Blake Snell, maybe put him in a package, maybe put in a package for Camposano.
Something. Something with him, please.
Yeah, because Camposano is, I don't know what their intention is for him. I mean, when he's come up, he hasn't really been hitting as in the majors, but, you can't really hit when you don't have enough at-bats.
Right.
But I think they just don't see him as the feature catcher in this organization. For some reason, maybe it's a communication issue among pitchers that the pitchers aren't too keen on throwing to him. But for some reason, if a guy that's been tearing up AAA and he's been a part of the organization the last couple of years, and he's been a pretty solid catcher out in AAA in the minors. Yeah, about this time they would. I think they would call him up. But I guess they're pretty comfortable with Nola and Alfaro.
I think Alfaro has earned his way on staying in the rotation of catchers.
Yeah,
I mean, just look at what he's done lately over this three-game series.
Oh yeah, I believe that Alfaro has pretty much taking the starting catcher position from Nola. I mean, it's when you're batting in the 280s and you're hitting bombs and you're playing pretty well for yourself. That was probably one of AJ Preller's best acquisitions in the off season. Cast consideration. I mean, they were saying that Alfaro could play left, they could play catcher and stuff like that, but he's pretty much solidified himself as the possible starting catcher, maybe occasional DH for this team. But as far as trades, I think you're looking at maybe another outfielder, maybe another another pitcher, a bullpen arm, possibly a starting pitcher. We don't know, but I think those are the areas that are still pretty much some holes, especially in the outfield. I mean, Profar is playing pretty well. You know, we don't know how long Mazzara is going to continue to hit, but then, you know, you still got to address center field. And like when we talked about Trent Grisham's bat, you know, you're hoping for more consistency. So we'll see what Preller comes up with, but it's going to be pretty interesting the next month or so.
Yeah, it should be. I read an article today that said it's probably going to be the Nationals and the Cubs that are going to be selling the most.
I mean, that's Contreras out of Chicago is going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
If he like lands as a catching job, to you know, I know we've got Nola, but you know, if you have you put Alfaro and Contreras on the same team.
Yeah. It's a dream.
I know, it's like getting the juices flowing, right, Friar Phil? Like,
yeah.
All these possibilities, you know, some of them you could dream, some of them are, then again, you know, AJ Preller tends to surprise us, and but then again, he's got to make the right moves, because how many times do we see our, you know, prospects flourish on other teams? I mean, it's a revolving doors, because we're, you know, unable to develop certain players, and when they actually get the call, but then they get to another organization, they play better. So,
oh yeah, Luis Urias, Ty France, name a couple of them.
Just to name a couple.
I'm looking at the schedule, and it's not going to get too easy for us. After we finish with Philadelphia, we play two games in Arizona, and hopefully we can win those games, depending on how we do with the Philadelphia series. And then we play the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium for not three, but four games. Thank you, Major League Baseball. Four games with the Dodgers. Then we come home and we play Seattle for two games, have a day off. Then we play San Francisco, back to Colorado for four games. Thank you, Major League Baseball. And then finish up with Arizona before the All-Star break starts. How do you think we're going to manage with the Dodgers this year?
You know, I think we can hang with the Dodgers. I think basically, depending on, you know, if Manny comes back before the series, which is, you know, all projections possibly. I mean, the Dodgers are still dealing with Bueller, a big loss to their starting rotation. And Mookie Betts is not going to play. But, you know, the Dodgers themselves are just pretty solid. You know, not, you know, Tony Gonsolin is having a pretty much an all-star season right now. And their pitcher, their starting pitcher, he's just, a lot of people are just kind of don't know much about him. But
right.
He's just kind of just laid low. And I think he's like 8-0 or something like that with like a 1.50 ERA or something like that. But he's been pretty solid. And, you know, the Dodgers are just going to Dodger. That's all you could do. I mean,
Dodgers are going to be Dodgers.
I mean, the Padres just got to hang. You know, they're going to got to hang on, you know, until Tatis comes back. And then again, we don't know when Tatis is going to come back. They're going to say, you know, he's still got to go, you know, swing a bat. Then he's got to go to rehab. Then he's got to go to AAA or Single A, get his timing back. So we don't know if that's even going to be after the All-Star break or even into August. So
yeah,
as long as we continue to hang with the Dodgers, I think, and I think this team can, you know, definitely make the playoffs. And I just think they can hang with the Dodgers, but it's always going to be tough against them. It's just, they're the Dodgers, like you said. The Dodgers will Dodger. That's all you can do.
And better off we're playing them there. I don't like it when they come to the stadium here, because it brings in all the riffraff from Los Angeles and around San Diego for those bandwagon fans. I'm an LA Dodger fan. Well, good. Get the hell out of here. This is Padres country. Now, see, the Marlins beat the Rockies today 7-4. The Marlins are 31-36. If the Marlins can beat the Rockies, why can't we?
Well,
that's why it blows my mind.
Yeah, it's a baseball. Baseball is a mystery sometimes, where teams just somehow have your number. And you know, like the Padres, you know, in a couple years ago, or last year, is like when it didn't matter what your ERA was, the starting pitcher's ERA could be 6, and then they would come in and throw like 3-hit balls in 7 innings against the Padre lineup. Like, it's just mysteries like that you're trying to, it just scratches your head. And Colorado is one of those teams where the Padres seem to can't figure out. I mean, when you lose 5 of 7 so far against the last place Rockies, it's just a head scratcher, and you can't figure it out.
Who knows? Maybe they'll play better against them with Bob Melvin back.
They'll get more motivated.
They sure did today. They won for Bob today, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's not like they laid down and died for the D-backs. They went 10-4, 10 runs.
Yep.
And it was a pretty exciting game, damn it. I wish I was there. And I hope it's like that tomorrow night when I am there. Oh, that's something. All in all, I think our Padres are doing pretty good. I get upset when we lose to bad teams. And, react like every other fan. But, when we have these wins, it's really good. It feels good. It feels good to be looking at the standings and being on the top. Instead of the bottom, or close to the bottom.
Yeah, as much as we get upset after a loss or even a series sweep to the Rockies, I mean, when you're 44-27 and still atop the National League West, it's really nothing to complain about. I mean, and to consider they swept Arizona without Machado. They've been playing they're plus over 500 in 17 games without Tatis Jr. in the lineup. They blew some games late with the bullpen. I mean, Rogers blew a game, Garcia blew a game, and the new pitchers that they got blew games. blew leads late. So just imagine, this team could actually be, instead of 44-27, they could actually be 50 game winners right now, considering how many games they've blown late in the game. They've lost leads late. The bullpen imploded. Guys like I said, Stammen's another one. Robert Suarez blew a game. Tim Hill. So it's just that, really nothing to complain of. They could be 50 game winners right now, but it's still a young season. I mean,
that's easy for people to complain. It's easy for me to complain, too, because, you look at just, what your sample size is right that particular day, and you don't really think about the picture as a whole, and the reality of the situation. I mean, it's not like these people are robots. They're not going to go out and perfectly save games that you're leading in every time and pitch perfect and get everybody out. They're going to have bad games, bad times, getting and holding on to a lead. And that's just the way baseball is. That's the way life is. Sometimes you're going to do good. You buy scratch-offs with the lottery. You scratch and you scratch, son of a bitch. Wasted another $75, but sometimes you'll scratch it and you'll win the $100 or the big jackpot. And that's the way it is with the baseball and with our bullpen. Sometimes they can be good, sometimes they suck. Some suck more than others. Stammen, not mentioning any names. Stammen. But you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, you're not going to go out there and shut it down and lights out all the time. When they don't, it gets frustrating. But, you know, at the end, they're still in first place atop the West, tied with the Dodgers. Looks like the Dodgers, I guess, going to win tonight. But it's just that they're there. They are there. They're one of the best teams in baseball. There's really nothing else you can say, as much as we get upset on Twitter or whatever. You know, they're one of the best teams in baseball. And it's been a pleasant ride so far. Really nothing to complain about. I mean, we still haven't, you know, it's kind of a strange, you know, it's kind of a strange when, you know, you look at Blake Snell, who was a Cy Young Award winner in 2018, and now he hasn't won a game yet. You have, you know, guys like Clevinger, who hasn't really gotten back to Clevinger-like pitching. So,
right.
And you got injuries. You got Machado out. You got Tatis out. You know, you got a young bullpen, and, you know, with Steven Wilson, you got Robert Suarez is there, who's currently in the DL. You got guys. You lost Pierce Johnson, who's been a fairly consistent pitcher of reliever. Austin Adams is not a Padre. You know, he's on the DL. So, and then you got guys that come in that just like, you know, like Maura Hone's back. You know, there's still guys that they're still injured in the Drew Pomeranz is not even in there. It's amazing how much injuries that the Padres have of actually guys that can impact this team that are missing, but they're still 44-27.
Right. I mean, knock wood that we haven't had any other major injuries. You know, we had the Machado thing, but. And of course, Tatis riding his motorcycle, which pissed me off. but we haven't had a lot of injury, you know, in this club this year. You know, I think it's also because us fans of the Padres, you know, and longtime fans of the Padres, don't know how to act or feel when we're in first place and we're staying there, you know? It's just you don't know how to react and feel, you know? Should you be happy? Yeah. Should you be happy and angry all the time? You know, angry when we lose to a team like Colorado, you know? What should I feel? Please tell me. Baseball God, help me here. I don't know what to feel. We've never been in a position like this, only a couple of times in the history of the San Diego Padres. So I think a lot of fans don't know how to deal with it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, it's, you know, we've had some, you know, I think back in the early 2000s is when the Padres were actually pretty competitive. Bochy was manager. In the early, when they opened Petco Park, I think the first few years they were winning the West and they were making the playoffs. But, you know, all the transition and over the last 15 plus years, it just hasn't been good, you know. But now that, you know, we're kind of starting to see, you know, a little bit more consistency, starting to win games, seeing ourselves in the stands that are, you know, at the top. And, you know, leading the wild card, it's just that, you know, really don't know how to react. You know, there's always a you know, feeling of being cautious, you know, because, you know, last year the Padres were, I believe, 18 games over 500 before they just fell completely flat in the rest of the season. So,
yeah.
You know, it's stuff like that you always have to be cautious. And the Padres always, you know, being a Padres fan for almost 38 plus years or so that I've been, I've always, you know, had that cautionary feeling of, you know, the Padres are going to continue to play well. Are they going to be a collapse somewhere? I think we're just kind of that. It's kind of a human nature to be a Padre fan where, you know, they're playing well, but then all of a sudden something's not right. And then, you know, there's a bad trade here and stuff like that. And, you know, it's just kind of that feeling. But, you know, this team, I feel, is pretty solid. I think together, you can kind of tell that Bob Melvin has this team together compared to what it was last year.
Oh, yeah.
Engler. I think this, the players respect the manager. He kind of goes, he kind of tells, you know, he tells them what they're expected to do, they're expected to do as a ball club, and I think that they respect him to the point where they enjoy playing with him. And I think they show it. Even they show it on the field, they show it off the field. It's definitely a night and day compared to when, you know, Tingler was managing. And, you know, Tingler's going to say that he lost the team. It's obvious he did.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like you're seeing it with Bo Mel that, you know, that he gains the respect of the players, and guys are just next man up attitude where they, you know, you lose, you know, Machado, you don't have Tatis, but yet guys are still going out there and producing. They don't, you know, the one thing that the Padres are, you know, are really good at this year is they're resilient. I mean, they can get, you know, previous teams, you know, just kind of fall flat, but I think, you know, after getting swept in St. Louis, they come back home and win 3 out of 4 against Milwaukee, a tough Milwaukee team. They take 2 out of 3 from a really, really hot Mets team. And then, you know, you get swept by Colorado over the weekend, and yet you come back and you sweep Arizona. Even, you know, Arizona is a better team than Colorado on a run in record, but, you know, they could have just, like, fell flat, even with Machado being out. So that's the one thing I like about this team, is that they just go out there and they continue to play ball, and they play ball to win, and that's what I like about this 2022 team.
Yeah, I like that, too, going out to win. I just don't know what to do with myself some of the time, because remember, I started out doing the Friar Phil thing with Andy Green as manager, bastard. And then also doing the thing with 97.3 The Fan and the Ben Woods program. So, you know, the angry Friar Phil was apparently funny, you know, especially when I said things like, yeah, Wing Ding, whatever the fuck his name is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, apparently that was funny, but I'm not funny anymore because I don't have that much to bitch and complain about. But yeah, I am enjoying, you know, the fact that we do have a winning team, and that these guys are resilient, like you said. It's just a complete change for the good, but it's weird feeling. And I always have that caution, like you said, with the Padres, you know, just in case something will happen, I'm waiting for the shoe to drop, the other shoe. And I think that's from growing up with the Mets.
No.
Yeah, you know, that wasn't too pretty in the 70s and the 60s, except for 69 and 73. All right, we're out of time. Good checking in with you. We'll do this again in a month or so and see what's happened after the trade deadline, and we'll talk then. Thanks for coming on this week.
Thanks for having me on, Fire Phil. Appreciate it.
And yeah, always have a good time when E.T. is on the program. All right, I'm going to leave you with another Mike and the Mechanics song. By the way, that was Mike and the Mechanics, All I Need Is a Miracle, that we started the show off with. I'm going to leave you with another one because it was just Father's Day, and I think this is one of the most beautiful songs Mike Rutherford, who also is with Genesis, has ever written. It was just Father's Day. It is a song about not saying to each other what you really mean to say. And, oh, look who's popped in, Nikki the Kitty. She's come out to say something. You got something to say today, Nikki? She's like, hurry up and get off of there and feed me. Okay, so we'll do that. And we'll leave you with The Living Years by Mike and the Mechanics. Thanks for tuning in. Everybody, take care of yourself. Watch your back and keep your mind and your heart open. I'll see you next time.
generation blames the one before, and all of their frustrations come beating on your door. I know that I'm a prisoner to all my father held so dear. I know that I'm a hostage to all his hopes and fears. I just wish I could have told him in the living years. Oh, crumpled bits of paper filled with imperfect thoughts, still to conversations. I'm afraid that's all we've got. You say you just don't see it. He says it's perfect sense. You just can't get agreement in this present tense. We all talk a different language, talking in defense.
Say it loud.
Say it loud. I just wish I could have told him in the living.